He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the 411 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we'll call it, so far at least, saved by the PPI show here. The NASDAQ is up 37 points after getting hit about 1% yesterday, somewhere in that range. The NASDAQ is up 37 to 16,207. The Dow, on the other hand, we have a mixed market, a split decision. The Dow's down 130. That's a third of a percent. It's down to 38,331 and looks to be going into a correction, from my point of view, from a technical analysis point of view. The S&P is down 4 at 5,157. The small caps are up a little bit. That's because interest rates are down a little bit. The Russell 2000 is up 4 points right now. Crude oil is down 72 cents right now to 85.49. It's still part of that inflation puzzle, though. Gold is up $15 to 23.63. Silver's up 22 cents to 28.27. Boy, it hasn't been that high in a long time. The 10-year is down just 1 basis point. That's it. We're starting to head back up on rates here. We're at 4.55 now, and Bitcoin is up 2,000 to 70,151. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, our certified financial planner. I was just telling Barry, it must be the opening day of the Masters tournament because we're getting torrential rains right now in this neck of the woods.
Right.
I'd have to look up Augusta. I'm sure it's on one of the golf channels or something. But it seems like every year around this time, the Masters, more often than not, gets off to a shaky start with the weather.
Yeah, at least one storm, and yeah, this morning, what here in Charleston, it's been pretty steady for the last 8 hours. I had
to go outside, dig a little trench to drain a low spot in the yard here. That was no fun. Well, anyways, the market got a little bit of a deluge yesterday with the CPI coming in hotter than expected, and you know, you got a lot of people. Hey, maybe Crash Kari is right, Barry, that we're not going to get any rate cuts this year. Now, Biden says otherwise. He's predicting a rate cut here. We'll get to that in a minute. And I saw the Fed's Williams is also predicting rate cuts before the end of the year. So don't lose hope yet. The Dow was down 400 yesterday, down even more. I think the biggest surprise to me was a 19-point jump in interest rates. So it's pretty obvious that the market had already priced in at least one rate cut, maybe two by now, and they took one off the table this year. So maybe instead of three rate cuts, we're now down to two. But we took a quarter of a percent yesterday, which would probably be what the next rate cut is, right? It'd be a quarter of a percent.
Well, and when you look at, percentages in terms of what the market is betting on in terms of futures contracts, right, you're looking at 97% chance of no change at the May meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got still an 79% chance of no change at the June meeting.
Yeah, that's gone way up.
And you got to get, I mean, even out to July now, you still have it. It's a 50-50 coin flip now for a move downward or remain the same. So,
well, I was expecting a hot producer price index today, PPI. It did come in lighter than expected. After yesterday's hot CPI, you know, we actually ended up flat on the day yesterday. We were helped by two things. NVIDIA was actually up in the face of a hurricane west wind. as Gordon Lightfoot said. And then we also had good action out of our inverse holdings, our inverse S&P 500, our inverse NASDAQ, just those two. But we do have a little bit of 2-to-1 also, and that kept us about even for the day. So I call that a victory. We're down a little bit, however, here today. Now, producer price index cools in March from a hot February print. The gauge increased 2.1% year over year, and that kind of is a forerunner of the CPI. I mean, that would suggest that the forward CPI will be a little softer, but we were expecting 2.3. It came in at 2.1 instead. I don't know. Did you look at any of the fine points there? Was there anything that was, stood out to you?
Yeah, no, I mean, in terms of, you know, if you look at it in terms of the prior reports, right, it, you know, came in at, you know, total was 0.2 for the month, or I guess, you know, 2.1. You had a, you know, in February, I think it was, you know, a good bit higher, 0.6 versus, what it was.
Was there any one item that stood out to you that staying, remaining stubbornly high?
It was really kind of, broad based, really the only one that really, looking across the group.
I noticed my fertilizer cost a lot more this year to put on the lawn. I put it on yesterday. I'm doing little portions of my lawn. Man, that stuff's like gold. You don't want to lose one little speck of that stuff.
Right?
That Miracle,
yeah, you want to make
Scott's
sure
Miracle Grow.
You want to make sure it gets to where you want it to get to nowadays.
How much do they use on that Augusta golf course over there? Right?
Yeah, it keeps it fresh. And you know, at Augusta, they got the drainage system underneath the grass, which will help it. Dry out a bit, but it I think they're supposed to tee off around 10. I think
yeah,
around
they can't
the time
have
we're
brown
on,
spots
on,
and dollar on weeds, right, on national TV. Initial jobless claims fall more than expected. Okay, look, that's one of the stickiest parts of inflation is the jobs market, the labor market. We'll let you know when we're starting to see some chipping away at the jobs and labor market, but it ain't happening yet. We're going to get Fed's William. Oh, he already spoke. Okay, and I'll give you what he said here in a moment. Collins is speaking at noon. Bostic is speaking at 1:30. And then we're getting a 30-year bond auction at 1 p.m. President Biden still expects rate cut before the end of the year. Now, I'm surprised he used the terminology end of the year instead of before election day, you know, a couple of months in front of the election, I expect some rate cuts. But he's not saying that by the end of the year. He sees the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates by the end of the year, standing by his prediction. Okay, so he's not supposed to know any more than anybody else, right? Because
right,
the Fed is independent.
And whose prediction is it? I mean, you know, I appreciate them come wanting to, you know, stand on one side or the other, but I mean,
it's an election.
He's not a, it's not like he's, gunlock or somebody, you know what I mean? Who's
When do we actually, okay, where do we go above 50% now? What month? Do we go above 50%?
Oh, that's actually, I think it's, I think
October.
It's the, I want to say it's the meeting before, it's the, let me get the calendar real quick. It was the meeting right before the.
Okay, I'll look at Williams here, his comments.
I want to say it's September, I want to say it's September 18th.
Well, right in front of the election.
So September 18th, there's only a 28% chance that, that we'll be where we are currently.
Okay, all right. New York Fed's Williams sees rate cuts this year. Okay, now he's on it a little more than Biden is, obviously, in the thickets there of the economy and all. He says that Williams says even after a third straight month of sticky inflation in data, he says starting this year we will be calling for some rate cuts, although the road's going to be gradual and bumpy on the return to 2%. Well, what was yesterday, 3.5%? from where in there? The CPI?
Be considered, yeah, bumpy would be the
to get to 2 right is not. Yeah, that's going to take quite a bit. Okay, so we'll see.
Yeah, CPI yesterday I think was, I want to say 3.5, I believe is what came up. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you who's doing well these days, the gambling stocks. We just got off of March Madness, which who knows how many billions were gambling. The Masters is also a big, big gambling event. We're about, what, the 3 hours?
The women's final had, I think, some of the most money that was put on, certainly that's been put on that particular event before.
And our South Carolina finished an undefeated season.
Yeah, they did.
Unbelievable, and beat that Iowa team. First time I really, you know, watched closely. Well, it got a lot more airtime and TV time. Now, when we come back, I want to talk about NVIDIA. Because it stood firm in the face of a hurricane west wind yesterday and even finished up for the day. We'll check in on how it's doing today and what the prospects are. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, and it does look like a little steam coming out of the market from that PPI report. The NASDAQ is now up just 9 points. Looks like it's headed for the red, and the Dow is now down 201 points. Let me just look at the Dow real quickly here to see if I can pick on one that's, it's just it's a mix of stocks. Yeah, I'll tell you, a terrible chart is Boeing. Just awful. And it continues to weigh on the Dow. And of the three indexes, there's no question the Dow looks the worst of all. Well, Nike and Amgen are both up today.
Yeah, talk about Boeing for a minute. I saw... I'm just looking through and seeing if there were any pickings in the bond market, and one of the interesting names that came up at I think it was around 5.75 yield to worst was
Boeing,
right? And it's
really?
Like you think it's
a member of the Dow, right?
And so you think of it, right? It's a reasonable yield, right? But then at the same time, with just the risk of that company at the moment, it's like you have to. I just thought it was odd that I was kind of rethinking it. It's like
I'd go out on that.
I know. It's kind of hard, right?
We try to buy fixed income on Best Stocks Now stocks that we own, and we definitely do not own Boeing. Okay, now let's look at NVIDIA, because it bucked the trend for sure yesterday. NVIDIA was active on Thursday as Raymond James upped its price target on the semiconductor giant and said investor concerns about a pause in spending are unwarranted. Well, there was a theory out there that before they release this Blackwell, that people would probably pause and wait for the new chip to come out. But they had an analyst day meeting yesterday, NVIDIA did, which they have on a regular basis to keep the analyst in line. They don't want the analyst to get too far out there on with their numbers, right? They want to rein them in from time to time. Or they want to warn them before a big miss.
They don't want to get too far one way or the other.
No,
really.
So obviously, this guy was boots on the ground. He liked what he heard, and they upped their price target, Raymond James, from $850 to $1,100. Okay, now the question would be, if you missed out on this whole NVIDIA run, is it still a good stock to buy? And would this be a good time to add or get into establish a position? And I would say this about that. Number one, it has pulled back. It almost got to 1,000. And now it's at 878. So it's down about, 12% from its all-time high? Well, that's pretty good correction. It's holding its support level. I currently have a pretty good target price, well above their target price, because I go out 5 years. And I'm showing right now, with this pullback, about 90% upside potential. And I'm not using extraordinarily high inflated numbers to get there. In fact, here's what I'm using. The street estimate for growth over the next 5 years is 38% per year. I'm half of that, 19%. Okay, the consensus out on the street is $28.19 for next year, $28.19. And I'm using a multiple of 30, which isn't outrageous, okay? If it averages a 30 multiple somewhere in there for the next five, it's at 67 right now, by the way, and the forward P.E. ratio right now on NVIDIA is 36, okay? So I feel like I'm being really conservative in my price target. And my price target for NVIDIA, now this is 5 years from now, gives it 94% upside potential, almost a double. So we're up around 1,600 or so, 1,700 with our five-year price target. So I'll let you decide for yourself. You've just gone through a 12% correction. You're off of the top. You had two threats to NVIDIA this week, one from Intel that looks like not much because Intel sold off the day next day, the other from Google. And I also saw that Meta is going to start making some of their own chips. But it seems to have no effect on NVIDIA at all. I don't think this $28.19, I think, is the number right now. And after hearing this guy who was at the conference yesterday for analyst, it sounds to me like NVIDIA is not guiding lower. So that's my take on it right now. Let you decide. It's pulled back to almost its 50-day moving average, and you now have a 12% correction behind you. Okay, so I think you can say that we still like NVIDIA here. Today it's up 1%. Okay, now let's go to the next one. AMD and Intel slip, but this is good news. Citigroup says March notebook shipments well above expectations. Okay, this is, you know, notebooks really shot up during COVID because people working at home needing their own computers at home. Also being mobile, right, these days. Very few people have a fixed computer anymore. Pretty much we carry our computers with us. But I noted that notebook shipments were up 44% month over month. So that's a big increase as people are upgrading.
I guess it's laptops. Kind of that refresh. I guess that refresh cycle, right? I mean, you think, I guess, a three-year-old computer, right? I guess that would be April 11th, 2021, right? And so, you know, some folks are even, you know, would be older than that, right?
That's good going news right for AMD. I would say the biggest recipient of the news here, Intel to some extent, but there's such a laggard in the industry. That's good news for AMD, number one.
Certainly, that gives them, you know, one more piece of their business, right?
Yeah.
Back in the game.
Because they're not as much, you know, NVIDIA is all about servers and gaming computers and whatnot, and AMD is more of your bread and butter, nuts and bolts.
Yeah, and they make the chips, right? Yeah, they make the chips that are, I think are in the Xbox, if I'm not mistaken, but they also, you know, they also are got the, of course, the angle right from an AI standpoint. So.
What time does the Masters tee off today?
10:30? I thought it was gonna. I know it got delayed at least till the ceremonial tee off was gonna be right, I think around the time we came on the show at 10:11.
Guess who just teed it up and shot one pretty once one down the center of the fairway? Fastenal opened. Fastenal opens up earnings season. That's their traditional first pitch of a new season. And Fastenal reported 52 cents. They missed by a penny. So a little bit maybe to the right of in the rough, just a little bit. We'll see if they can nice shot out of that. Their revenue missed by $20 million. Now, tomorrow we get some big banks. That's going to be a lot more important than Fastenal. But, you know, Fastenal has teed it up, hit the ball down the fairway. Fastenal's down 6%. Not a good start. Is that an ominous omen to this current earnings season? We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And, well, I would just say that's not a good start to earnings season. I mean, that's a small sample. I do believe Fastenal is a member of the S&P 500. They missed by 1 cent. But the stock's down 6%, so the street did not like what they saw on the first company that the first company of any note that has now hit the ball down the fairway, and the second quarter of 2024 earnings season is now underway. Fasten your seatbelts. They're
I guess not as exciting, though, as it used to be with Alcoa. Remember, it Alcoa that used to – because it was an aluminum stock and, like, it would – you know,
big,
it had to do with
–
yeah, it was almost like the old copper – remember, like the old Dr. Copper kind of story. But,
okay.
Yeah, not quite as exciting with Fastenal, but
no.
still it's the one that kicks it off.
We'll be watching oil prices going forward the rest of the year. That's going to have an – big impact on the election. It's going to have a big impact on interest rates. It's going to have a big impact on inflation. It's going to have a big impact on our sentiment as we go to the polls or to the booth first Tuesday in November. You know, if it costs us $100 to fill up our gas tank, we may vote for the other guy. Who knows? But it does have an impact. Now, The big unknown factor here is I watch Israel news very, very closely. I've always been a student of the scriptures, the Old Testament, the New Testament. I read every single morning pretty much and have followed the events in Israel. My wife is half Lebanese. Her mother came from Lebanon. The rest of the family is still in Lebanon. They're on the Christian side of Lebanon. And so I follow the Middle East quite closely. And my wife, I mean, all of her relatives, cousins and everything, one of her cousins is one of the governors of Lebanon. So I stay on top of what's going on over there. And, you know, lately it's just been like, wow, this could be really big. You know, Israel is planning for an all-out attack. A war with what would a war between Israel and Iran look like? Not pretty at all. But hopefully, at the minimum, I do see them taking out that last city there, Rafah, and the Hamas that's still hanging out there. I mean, they've gone after some big names in the Hamas here recently, and then I don't see them sitting pat on that Hezbollah situation in Lebanon. And apparently, a retaliation from Iran is imminent. Okay, that's the shoe that's going to drop next.
And you've been talking about it, even referred to it in terms of last Thursday, right? And,
yes.
And you know, I think saw something. I guess it was. I think the soundbite was from this morning or you know sometime today. But the essentially you know, that they had warned, right? Or we had warned Israel that an attack was you know. Potentially imminent. Right?
And we don't know what it will be. You know, it's look, the majority of the missiles fired into Israel cause no damage because they're low-tech missiles, and they're just kind of fired at random, hoping they'll hit something. You know, they're expecting a more highly targeted, accurate kind of missile attack. But On the other hand, I'm sure Iran
has different technology, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
And I'm sure Iran doesn't. They got to think twice a little bit about declaring full war on Israel because of Israel's capability. So, anyways, that's a big factor out there in the commodities, oil and gold especially. Now, let's not forget Amazon as an AI player. And there's a lot of news out there today coming from their new CEO, Andy Jassy, in his letter that he publishes to shareholders about all of the opportunities ahead that Amazon has, not only for their retail side of the business, but also for their AWS side of the business. And let's not let it pass that Amazon is hitting almost a new all-time high today. 188 is the all-time high back in 2021. We're at 187 right now. And as Amazon closes in on $2 trillion, it remains one of our largest positions. Because, you know, I think a lot of people think of Amazon as that package that arrives on your doorstep and forgets about the server side of things. Other companies, how many companies around the world use Amazon's web services?
AWS. No, I mean, that's one key. That's what I think they're kind of a unique player, and, you know, one of the reasons we own them is the fact that they've got, you know, they actually are a company that can benefit from AI. Number one, like you said, they have a, you know, kind of to smooth some of their other businesses out, right? They've got that server business, which benefits, right?
For a long time, that made them profitable, right? Was just the server side of things.
Exactly. I mean, and then the other piece of it is in terms of they are a logistics business, and, you know, AI is one of those things, right? Technology is one of those things that can improve their business, right? They've probably been using AI longer than we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
AI when you some
search,
form of it,
when
right?
you do a search for best lawn fertilizer to get rid of dollar weed, it immediately comes
and
up.
And it comes, something comes up.
Scott's Miracle-Gro, be delivered at your door 2 days free. Yep.
4.7.
Well, I'm not going to run to Home
4.7
Depot.
4.7 stars, right?
Those things, bags are heavy, okay? I'm not going to run to Home Depot. I'm going to let Amazon bring it to my door. Now, okay, now the valuation on Amazon right now. Well, Amazon has not gone through a 12% pullback yet, and it may not. Amazon has just been really a straight-up move here since mid-October of last year. It's gone from 118 to 186. We've ridden that entire move, which has been good for us, obviously. It's up $70 a share. It's up 65% since October. But I show right now about 70, mid-70s, which about, you know, that's the lowest. I'll go 75% or more upside potential. I would not really have a problem buying Amazon at this level. And let's not forget, Amazon has a lot of support just being in the Dow, right? Because a lot of these big firms, if you own a blue-chip mutual fund, it usually includes all the Dow stocks or most of them. So anyways.
Well, it's just an interesting player. I mean, you think about, you know, all the different business units they really have. They're almost like, you know, Google was kind of like this at one time, but, you know, most of their other businesses didn't really, you know, pan out short of their other server businesses. But when you look at, I mean, you've got with Amazon, you've got the, you know, they did a pharmacy, right? They took over a healthcare company recently.
They've drugs delivered.
Yeah.
Your local drug dealer in the corner.
I mean, you know, the package side, you know, they've got, they've been working on drones, right? Automated delivery, all types of different, pieces of their business that, you know, they've got a video studio, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Prime Video, and even they're a music streamer, like a Spotify or something.
Yeah, I mean, they're a streamer competing with Netflix.
Right.
And, okay, so I was talking to somebody yesterday about my portfolio management, you know, the mechanics of it. And I said, look, when somebody comes to us, we don't put them in our all 25 stocks on day one, and all of a sudden they're in our model. I said I look for key moments in these stocks, pullbacks, like I suggested. I'm not going to tell you if that's a perfect entry point for NVIDIA, but a pullback at 12 obviously makes it more attractive. Some of these people that have come to us lately, I haven't put them in NVIDIA, for instance, okay? And I usually start, first thing I do is I clean up the junk. Sometimes the entire portfolio is junk, yes, uh-huh. Sometimes there's nothing good in the portfolio. Usually there's a few good ones in there, a few keepers, the Microsofts, the Amazons of the world, AMDs, etc. Okay, and then I got a lot of cash, or people start with just cash, with a blank canvas, a white canvas. Then it's up to me to find those key moments when I feel like, you know, I feel good about buying this here, even though it's come a long ways. I go to my five-year target prices and the charts.
And you're making that individual combined. And you're making that individual decision versus just, you know, it's in this model, toss it on in. Right?
I make a lot of decisions on a daily basis. And look, 99% of them are do nothing. Okay, do nothing. Hold. Anyways, if you'd like to talk to us and get started on your own cleanup of your garden, pruning, or starting with a blank canvas, you know, there's always opportunities. I bought two brand new buys yesterday, which will be in the newsletter this week. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. When we come back, I'll give you a little update on where we're at for Sarasota, and then we'll look underneath the surface of the market. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Barry, I grew up watching USC, but not University of South Carolina. University of South California, Southern California.
Yeah, the Trojans. The USC. That's what I tell my kids around here. They
yeah.
see it. They're like,
the biggest...
oh, USC? I'm like, which one? There's only one. I say there's only one.
The biggest story that I, you know, one of the biggest stories that we ever witnessed in Southern California was the whole O.J. Simpson trial. Renthal James Simpson, and one of the his greatest running back I ever saw. Okay, when he returned that kickoff against Notre Dame, USC was down 38-0 at halftime, and they came back and won that game with great comebacks of all. Maybe that was Anthony Davis. But O.J. had plenty of big runs himself, and then he, of course, went to – he has died at the age of 76 – normally, I say rest in peace, but
ooh,
you
OJ?
Know what? OJ has died
oh, wow.
of cancer, is oh, what his family has. This is coming from Israel 24 News. Interesting that they'd be the first one to break this news, so I'm kind of wondering if it's legit, but I can't imagine if the family announced it. But anyways, the trial, the white Bronco, we witnessed it all in Southern California. Everybody was glued to the trial on KNX 1070 radio in Los Angeles, and quite a story. And look, he's got some answering to do when he gets to the other side, which apparently he has. That's the only news outlet that's reporting this so far.
Yeah, I just found it on Fox News.
Okay, then it's official. O.J. Simpson has died from cancer at the age of 76. Okay, well, anyways, let's take a look at the S&P 500, okay?
Well, yeah, probably the least market-moving news.
It's not going to move the markets, but that was one of the big stories.
That was, yeah.
Kardashian came out of that, Johnny Cochran.
I mean, there's a lot of...
Marsha... Yeah.
I saw Johnny Cochran at a basketball game one time, right? And it was like, it was when Jordan was winding down his career. And in front there was, you know, I'm trying to remember the heavyweight champion that was in the front. And then
Muhammad
had,
Ali, probably.
Well, no, it was...
Joe Frazier.
I'll remember.
Mike
it was
Tyson.
One of the more recent ones, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Peyton Manning, just to the... A young Peyton Manning, just to the right. And then Johnny Cochran was also watching the game.
Yeah, he was
and for me, the most famous person besides Michael Jordan was definitely Johnny Cocker. And I was like, you know, because you were thinking about the glove and, you know, the glove don't fit. You must have quit, all that.
Yeah, so. It was quite the thing. And we watched it in real time live back in our day. Now, the market is strengthening here. Okay, that's good. Like I say, saved by the PPI, it would seem. And we'll look at the S&P 500 just to get some kind of idea. Yeah, now Fox News. So, okay. Well, Israel had it first. How about that? The biggest winner in the S&P 500 is another one of our stocks that we own and we continue to like, and that would be Super Microcomputer, SMCI, which is a major player in AI. Consider that SMCI is the earnings estimates for next year. I want to say $28 per share, $26.77 per share. Would I buy SMCI? Well, look, it's just pulled back about 25% correction. It's holding its 50-day moving average, and it's starting to bounce off its 50-day moving average. That all makes for a pretty good entry point.
Yeah, and it's earnings growth year over year in 2024 is 86%. 2025 is 39%, and 2026 way out 16.5%.
You know, I have it as a double plus over the next 5 years. Of course, there's a lot of things that can happen between now and then. But anyways, it is the biggest mover. I would say AI. I think Amazon saying a lot. Yesterday in the letter, and I think that NVIDIA reassuring the analyst has probably got AI fervor a little bit. Now, naturally, they've come the furthest. When there's a correction in the market, they're going to get hit the hardest, and that's kind of happened. You've got a 25% sell-off in SMCI. We did not budge at all. We kept our entire position and maybe looking to add some for those new clients like I was talking about in the last segment, along with NVIDIA, which has pulled back 12%. Okay, the second biggest winner in the S&P 500. I don't know what's up with Nike, but they have some good news, okay? I'm not sure what it is. They're up 2.7.
They need it. They've been in need of some.
You know, and Deckers has been selling off a little, so maybe Nike's getting their market share back. Broadcom's up 2.5. That's another AI stock. AMD is up 1.8, and NVIDIA is up 1.8, and Micron's up 1.6. So there's no question about it. The S&P 500 is being dominated. The winners are all mostly AI stocks. Now, as we look to the Dow Jones Industrial Average, Boeing breaking down again, down 1.4%. Home Depot's breaking down, too. I looked at that stock chart yesterday. That's not a good chart. I'm just telling you, that's not a good chart. It's one of the worst-looking charts. And I think, you know, at their last... this will be the last one I have time to talk about. I see the time ticking away. They're a no-growth company. They're not a non-profit yet, but they're a non-growth, which isn't good because it's hard to get capital appreciation out of a non-growth company. They did make a big purchase of a building supply company, but I see them turning into a Johnson & Johnson right now unless something happens. Maybe they merge with Lowe's. I don't know, but not good. Okay, we are. I predicted that we would be full up in Sarasota. You know what? We'll work it in. I just saw the number of how many we have. It's the number I've been broadcasting on the air when I first started this thing. I said, we'll have this many appointments. Here's how many spots we have. They filled up. I added an extra day, and it's filling up. So if you want to meet with us Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm there with Barry meeting with you. And then on Thursday, I'm flying solo meeting with you. You can give Edie a call. She'll work it in somehow. You know, I don't know. We'll go out and get some fish and chips or something. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. To set up that appointment. And you don't have to be in Sarasota in person to set up an appointment. We talk with people from all over the country on a daily basis. to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. We added 2 new stocks yesterday that we haven't owned in a long, long time. Go to GundersonCapital.com for 2 free weeks of the newsletter. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.